Good morning.
Morning.
Please join me in saying Fiona Bacoa.
Okay.
Another co-op. Such an insult. Reading verse number 6. Elohino, I'm Adonai Elohino, Alena Masaya Denim, Nailena Masaya Denim from the Nehu. Wayo Merahem Ben Mea Bezrim Shana Vigomer. I knew the Amar Rabbi Elazar Arbaim Shanim Nair Shim Shalom Israel Beit Kenish Lesof Arbaim Shanim Lubenahir Sitara Amar Rabbi Shimon Vedai Haki Hu Hainu Dikti Vyesh Niska Bilo Mishpat Veha Yitaru Havraya Vyanan Nokin Le Likra Aval Alma Vyataru Havraya Tolahu Itzperis The Alma Litoalta, the Barnash, the Itkinash Ad La Matun Yomo. And he said to them, I am 120 years old. It is as Rabbi Elazar said, that the sun shone on Israel for 40 years and was gathered at the end of 40 years. And then the moon shone. He therefore said, I can no more go out and come in, because the time has come for the moon to rule, which is the aspect of Joshua. Rabbi Shimon said, surely it is thus as written, but sometimes ruin comes for want of judgment, which the friends have already explained, and we shall expound on this verse. But in relation to what the friends have said, everything is needed in the world for the good of man, who will be gone before his time. That is, that he is ruined without judgment, as shall be explained. I find this verse from the Chumash. It's Devarim 31:2. It's from the Parsha of Nitzavim, actually. Moses said he was standing before you. We are standing. And then he says that I am 120 years old and I can no longer go in and go out. Now, most people read that literally. He can no longer go in and go out. Go in the door, out the door. It really doesn't make sense. Because it wasn't that Moses had any old age symptoms. He was just as tall, just as strong. His days were filled with his service to the people. What does it mean that he can no longer go in and go out? And the Zohar explains, and will explain as we read on, the Zohar explains that going in and going out refers to his connection to the Creator. Because he could go out, but going out requires that one go within. And that's why the sentence is said the way it is. He can no longer go in to go out. He could no longer meditate. He no longer had permission to go travel wherever he would travel to be with the Creator. It's a great lesson that we need to go in order to travel outwards. Are there any questions? So we are doing the 12th class of the Sefer Yetzirah. which is done by the connection from the Revealed Wisdom page. I believe it's the 11th row, second column from the left, which is the advanced classes, for the Sefer Yetzirah series. And then class number 12, the handout. And we're doing verse number 1.11. Interesting verse number. It's verse number 1.11 from Kaplan, but 1.10 from the Ramak. There are additional words in the Ramak version that is similar to the Gra Long version in the appendix to the Kaplan version. This is just for your information. Shalosh, Maim Meruah Hakat Vechatziva, Vahem Tohu, Vabohu Refesh Vahit, Hakakem Kamin Aruga, Hatziven Kamin Koma, Tabaven Kamin Meaziva, Veatzik Maim Alefen, Venashu Afar Shena Amar, Kila Sheleg Yamar Havieret, V'ayat demasan tozeko yirok shemakif et ha'olam bohu elu avanim mefol mot shememu manu amayim yotzeham shenech amar v'nate elyah Go to who, bev me bohu. Here is a limited translation. 3. Water from air, he engraved and hewed out through it, without form and void, mud and mire. He engraved it like a kind of garden bed. He raised it like a kind of wall. He surrounded it like a kind of ceiling. The Kaplan translation is slightly different. 3. Water from breath. With it he engraved and carved 22 letters from chaos and void, mire and clay. He engraved them like a sort of garden. He carved them like a sort of wall. He covered them like a sort of ceiling. And he poured snow over them. And it became dust, as it is written. For to snow, he said, becomes earth. Our translation. 3. Water from spirit, he engraved and carved from them void, and without form, mud, mire, and clay, sludge. He engraved it like a garden or a flower bed, carved it like a wall. He surrounded it like an interwoven ceiling. Then you throw water on it, and it becomes land or dirt. This is the line of Tekelet and the smooth, round stones. All of these words have to be understood in a different way than their surface meaning. We have to understand what those that meaning is. And without a teacher, I wouldn't have been able to understand them. and I'm sure you would not have been able to understand them. Let's look at these words. Hakat v'chatziva. We received this last week. This is the mental construct of focusing our minds and eliminating any outside influence or thought. Learn this well. This is what engraving and carving means in the frame of meditation and also in the frame of the sefirot. On its surface level, engraving means to take material away. Carving means to add material. But in the frame of meditation, it means to focus our thoughts so intently that we create a barrier to any outside thought. We can only stay focused on the nothingness. And we use music, we use the letters, we use specific kavana in order to focus our intention, focus our direction. But at the same time, we're building a fence around those thoughts so that we don't allow anything into that space. What is from them? It is the letters which we need to be preparing from a first-class handout and learning. How do you say ah, be, gi, da, and so forth? Are you practicing? Are you still practicing this? The universe was created, the worlds were created with sound. Excuse me. Water comes from spirit. Comes from plasma, which is fire, to gas as it becomes more solidified, and then to liquid, and then to solid. These are the four worlds. Yet water is usually thought of as relating to Chesed, and we are talking about Bina. Bina is the third Sefirot from the top. What happened to the phrase Ten Sefirot Blima? We no longer are saying that. And that's why my teacher has explained that this section, these verses, while still talking about the Sefirot, are really talking about them from a different perspective. Why are we talking about Bina and we bring in the idea of water? Water is flowing. It is thought of metaphorically as deep, because we cannot see to the bottom if it is over a few feet. Bina is mind, usually logical mind, as opposed to intuitive mind, which is Chochmah. Mind is flowing, constantly running from one thought to another, and is also thought of as deep, as in the phrase, deep in thought. Do you understand the metaphor? Do you understand it? Can he relate to the idea? Water is chesed, but it's also unable for us to look through to the bottom. It's connected to Bina. What comes out of Bina is Chesed. Tohu Bohu Refesh Vatit, void and without form. Mire and mud are the worlds of Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. Whoa, how do we go from there? How do we get there? In the Torah, it talks about Tohu and Bohu. And the Kabbalists teach us that that verse really belongs in front of the first verse, but it's the second verse. Why is that? Because the idea of Tohu and Bohu, void and without form, is relating to the worlds of Atzilut and Bria. Tohu, void. Void meaning everything is unified. Atzilut is Chachma, but it's got tip of the yud, it's got has Keter. Everything is oneness. So there's no separation in Atzilut. And along comes Tohu, which is the world of Briah, where we begin to see separation, which is where we begin to see negativity. Because separation is where negativity breeds. Yet the number two has the potential to unify and create a child. Nothing, there's no greater revelation of light than the revelation of a child. Mire and mud. Well, we can understand the metaphor of mud being the world of Asiya, being the physical world, because our world is one of mud. We cannot see it. We cannot see through the illusion of it, or it's very difficult to see through the illusion. So mud we can understand, but what is mire? Mire is mud with a little more water, a little more liquid. It's a little easier to see through. This is the world of Yetzirah. Another metaphor for the four worlds. Our world is 50% good and 50% evil. The world of Yetzirah is 75% good and 25% evil. The world of Briah is 100% good and no evil, because that evil is in potential only. It hasn't manifested. And then the world of Atzilut is only good, where even the concept of good and evil does not exist. It's only good. It's only unified. This is another metaphor to understand the relationships of the world. Don't look at this intellectually. Try to experience it. Try to utilize this. Atzilut is without form. Bria is void. Yetzirah is mire. It can be seen through a little bit, but it's still a little unclear. And Asiya is mud. What happens in mud? But the mud is healing. People take mud baths, getting back to the earth. The worlds get thicker as they get lower. Thicker means harder to see through. Atzilut is Chochmah, which is beyond mind. It is the source of intuition. Riyah is mind. Yetzirah is emotions. Asiyah is our physical world. Another metaphor is the Tetragrammaton. Tohu is Yud. Bohu is He. Refesh is Vav. And Tet is the lower He. Remember, this is third only. Therefore, we are talking of Asiya, of Bina, and Bria, of Bina, etc. The word flower bed is a highly structured metaphor. When someone creates a flower bed, they plant the flowers in very specific order, in very specific colors, and the order of those colors, so that the vision is clear. They're presenting a structured relationship. A wall is all extraneous thought. It's the metaphor to keep thought out. Just like a fence. A fence keeps things out, but also keeps things in. A wall has the idea of keeping things out. But we don't think of a wall as keeping things in. That's the metaphor of the word fence. That's the difference. That's why the word wall is used in this third level when we're talking about the mind. There's extraneous thought that interferes with our own thought structure. Where is that extraneous thought coming from? It's coming from outside of us, and so a wall will keep it out. But the thoughts that are already inside, this is where we want to go. Where are those thoughts going to take us? We are in control of where we go. Visualization of a metaphor is a reality. I don't know how to express that any stronger. It needs to be stronger. When you visualize, when you dream, when you see a picture, that visualization is a metaphor to you. But in reality, where that thought is originating, where that picture is originating outside of you, that picture is not a metaphor, it's real at that level of consciousness. All metaphors, all of the Kabbalistic metaphors are worlds, dimensions, consciousness. We build a flower bed in structured rows. We put the flowers in the specific order of the colors and the specific orders of the species. And then we build a wall around the flower bed to keep out the extraneous. And then we surround it with a roof or a ceiling. The word is actually a plastered roof. An interwoven structure merges and puts things together. This is what logic is. This is what Bina, the mind, does. And then you throw water on it, and it becomes dust and dirt. Does dust and dirt come from water? We don't usually think of that, do we? But let's learn a little bit. Structured rows are letters put together with vowels in a specific pattern. A, E, I, O, U. That's the vowels in English. That's the order, because those vowels are structured within the alphabet. But in Hebrew, they're not in the alphabet. There's no A in Hebrew. There's the sound ah, but there's no A, there's no vowel that is a letter. So that the order of the vowels in Hebrew are different. The appropriate order is usually O, A, E, U. Then, through the power of concentration, we remove all extra thoughts or distractions. Then we put letters together to form words, and words together to form what? Do we form sentences? Do we form verses? Do we form buildings? Do we form worlds? What are we creating with our letters where we have put them together to form words? This is something to contemplate. In the ancient world, the ancients perceived ice. When ice melted, ice became green pastures. Ice became land. Ice became dirt. Ice became mud. They perceived what was in ice not as water, but as below the ice came the earth. That's how they perceived the formation of the worlds. And that's what is being expressed in this Sefer Yetzirah, in this verse of the Sefer Yetzirah. Were they wrong? Is there dirt in the earth? Is there dirt in the ice? After the ice age, when it melted, the earth returned. This is where they perceived. We can look into water and see all the different elements suspended in the water. All the salts that create crystalline forms that become earth. That become clay, that become mire. Astrological teachings for today. Hebrew astrology teaches that the astrological chart gives information about this lifetime as well as your previous lifetime. It does not give information about earlier lifetimes than the latest past life. This is because there is no need to remember this information. Why is that? Each lifetime follows the exact same pattern. It starts at your 20th birthday, prior to this age, there are corrections, tikkunim. Yet these corrections are connected to your parents and your siblings. They are not yours alone. Since each lifetime is flowing, is following the same pattern, one only needs to know about the last lifetime, and it is not necessary to know about earlier lifetimes. Now, what someone should ask, what about a lifetime where the person dies in the 21st year, yet he lived to be 35 in an earlier lifetime? How can I know what's going on? How do I follow this pattern? Death cleanses many negative actions. When the soul who died at 35, he cleansed some negative actions. In the lifetime when he died at 21, he cleansed other negative actions. In his next lifetime, he will learn about what he did in this lifetime where he died at 21. And that brings him back into being reincarnated. The effect of his dying at the age of 21 had the effect of him being reincarnated into this current lifetime. We may know what the court says only if it is necessary for him to know this to achieve his tikkun. Judgments are always perfect. They're always correct. Learn to accept this as a truth. Maybe you will need to know this judgment. Maybe you won't. If you do need to know it, you will learn it. The Ari teaches that in order to achieve correction, we must know what we did wrong in our previous incarnation. In the example that I gave, dying at 21 seems quite young, as it is. We need to know what we did wrong that caused our death at the age of 21. But did we really need to die at 21? If we didn't need to die at 21, we would not have. Did we do that action in that 1 year from 20 to 21? Probably not. Probably it's connected to the previous incarnation or the one before that. But we may not need to know that information. All we do need to know is what we did wrong in that lifetime where we died at 21. What did we do wrong that caused us to leave at the age of 21? Hebrew astrology teaches that the lunar nodes, which are paired relationships, teach both the correction from our past lifetime and the life lessons to learn in this lifetime. The node north is where someone is going towards. He will learn what life lessons are necessary for him to learn in this lifetime. Yet first one must correct the mistakes made in the past lifetime. And that information is learned from the south node. And the degree of the sign that the south node is connected to at the time of birth. The nodes are not the sun sign, they're not the moon sign, and not the rising sign, and they are not any other part of the chart. Learn where they are and how to find them. Here is an example of a reading from the north node of Nisan. A tikkun in Aries tells you that you formerly had the behavior of a Libra, which was your south node. That is, you were often in the role of arbitrator and were unable to settle conflicts because you refused to make decisions. Taking sides was difficult for you, since it implied possibly hurting someone. Because of this, rather than make a clear choice, you tried to invite what was incompatible. You tried to unite what was incompatible, and you suffered the consequences of your indecision. As a Libran, you learn to compromise in order to avoid confrontation. Your behaviors in your past life, your behaviors in your last life, led you to choose classic passive-aggressive behavior. A Libra cannot make a decision. This is the source of passive-aggressive behavior. Passive-aggressive behavior essentially says you are making a judgment, but you don't want to show it to the person. So you don't move based on that judgment. Or you create that judgment in a negative way where you're not communicating it clearly. This is the idea of not making a decision. This is the idea of last lifetime as a Libra. A Tacoon in Aries points you towards a correction where you must break out of your limitations in order to uncover your identity, who you are, your unique needs, and your individual desires. You must seek independence and reinforce your self-confidence. This will help you discover your own spiritual nature and enable you to become more proactive in all areas of your life. Along this path of correction, you can stop avoiding confrontations and face each situation as it unfolds without needing the approval of others. As you pass each test, you will gain awareness and confidence. Come to know your own personality and strengthen yourself, combining Libra's altruism with Aries' ability to fight the good fight will bring about an overall elevation of your soul, allowing you to become the cause of the fulfillment you will soon receive. This is just one example of the life lessons to be learned and the mistakes to be corrected. This is the relationship between the North and the South nodes. Learn well. Are there any questions?
It sounds like you need to know your birth time, the time of your birth.
No, actually, the nodes work on an 18-month cycle. So the north node is, you enter a new north node on a particular day, and for approximately 18 months, people are born in that same north node. But where within the cycle of that node, it stays in the same sign for 18 months approximately. But where it starts and the degree that it's in that node, that it's in that sign, affects where it is. Someone who is generally born in the north node, at the early part of the north node, has much correction to make in the south node. But once that correction is made, and it may take two or three lifetimes as that north-south node relationship. The first lifetime, they might have entered it in like the fifth degree. And then the next lifetime, they might enter it at the 10th or 15th degree. And then the last lifetime, when they actually achieve the full correction, they'll enter it at the 25th degree. I hope that's being clear for you.
I really don't know anything about north and south mode, so I'm going to have to, you know, I'll have to find out more about that.
It's part of the chart. It's very easy to find out what it is. Most charts will tell you where you are, and that's what's defining your last lifetime and the mistakes that you made. And that's one of the easier ways to find out what your tikkun is in this life.
And where are the charts? Excuse me. Where are the charts?
Where are the charts? You have to go to I have a program. I can do your chart for you. Other astrologers do it. Western astrologers' charts do it. But I don't recommend you get a reading. You're just looking for the information. And then once you're in that information, you'll get an understanding of where, what the life lesson is from the north node and what the mistakes from the south node, and which house and which sign it's in gives you additional insights. So for those people who want it, and at some point I'd like to get it automated, but that's just another project to do.
Right.
Ask me for it and I'll get you some as part of your overall tikkun information. If you'll remember in the basic class, we have a overall chart for each individual's tikkun, all the different aspects of what they can learn about themselves and where the source of that is. And the recommended first thing to start with is, what is your north and south node, and what is that report, what is that understanding of what those things tell us. I know, Barbara, I have you on my list to do, so both you and Tony.
Okay. Well, I've been hesitant only because when we left for Israel, I left, you know, my baby books and albums and picture albums with my children, and I've asked to get that back, and they tell me they're packed and they don't know where, and so, and I don't remember the time of birth, so that's why I've hesitated on investigating more until I could find that.
The time of birth teaches you your rising sign. That's the only thing it's needed for. It gives you the rising sign. The other aspects are known from other of the date of birth. The north known is known from the date of birth. It doesn't need to know the time.
All right. Okay.
You all have a beautiful, beautiful week.
Okay, thank you.
Two classes today, one at 5:30 and one at 8:30.
Okay, see you then. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.